Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Now is 0-2. Soto swings and misses and strikes out for a third time against Garrett Crochet.
I mean, not even close. I think he realized Crochet was angry. Whoa. Oh, my goodness.
And here comes Alex Cora. So, Brooksy, you were correct. Cora comes out of the Red Sox first base dugout at 85 pitches. Garrett Crochet steps toward Alex Cora to meet him.
He's not made a choice yet, Mike.
So instead of handing Alex the ball, he put his hand out there. Like, I'm not giving you the ball, I'll shake your hand. But he turns it over anyways.
And Crochet does depart. Hands Alex Cora the baseball, 85 pitches. And yes, 5 straight righties. And here comes Liam Hendricks.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We'll go on the clock shortly. Summer viewing. Red Sox prominent on that list. You can dial us up, 617-779-7937. Good job there by Will and Monaco and Brooksy. Breaking down the exchange on the mound last night. Crochet didn't want to come out. Anybody who listened to Crochet after the game, and I heard Greg and Wiggy and Courtney, Curtis talking about this today, where, oh, well, Crochet actually seemed, and he did Cora some favors, that he seemed pretty mild-mannered after the game. Well, yeah, he had time to cool down at that point. He did acknowledge that he didn't know he was coming out of the game so soon and getting a quick hook. But that exchange right there told you everything you needed to know. Crochet was
He wanted to stay in the game.
Of course he did.
Yeah, he wanted to stay in the
and
game.
And I imagine everyone in the ballpark outside of the Mets dugout, mm-hmm. his teammates, the fans, everybody wanted him to stay in the game, including him. That was just moronic last night. So we've been blaming Cora all day. Brad Foe, I think, accurately lumps in the analytics department and the front office. Like, they have a say in all of this, I'm sure. But I think he's giving outward or too much credit, rather, to the analytics in front office. I think he's taking Cora almost too much off the hook. But I think this does speak to the push and pull. Cora, Breslow, Cora, analytics. And I think that might have been some of what Cora was doing last night, justifying the move, like, hey, don't look at me. It's the guys upstairs who mapped this out weeks ago.
Well, and one of the reasons why I liked Cora, I'll sort of put that in past tense, is that I thought he might be one of those managers that sort of does both, right? Because so many managers across baseball are like, hand me the spreadsheet, I'll look at all the numbers, and then this is what we'll do. I don't even fill out the lineup. I don't even determine how long the starter stays in. I don't do any of this. I mean, the Tampa Bay Rays basically lost a World Series because of that.
Correct.
Time to take Blake Snell out. Loss. So you wanted somebody more human. Maybe you wanted somebody former player, which is nice. We're told that he relates to the players so well. Like, there's a lot of positives there with him. But if it's just going to be default to what all the stat people are saying, what's the point?
Yeah.
Why make him one of the highest paid managers? Why do all this stuff?
What are you going to pay him $9 million a year or whatever it is? I forget the exact number.
So, I mean, that takes away all the appeal of having a manager like Alex Cora if he's simply just going to listen to everybody. Because this is my guess.
Hang on. Do you think analytics? I just think that's inconsistent because, not on your part, but oh, well, last night it was the analytics department. I mean, do you think the analytics department is constantly telling him to lean on Whitlock for multiple innings and keep Bayo in there when he's getting his brains beaten in? And same thing with Tanner Houck. Like, is that the analytics department?
Who knows?
Or is that the manager asleep
could
at
be,
the wheel?
Could
so,
be the manager.
Like, I think that's we're really kind of picking and choosing who to blame in these situations.
So, Garrett Crochet has made 11 starts this year. Last night was his 11th. He has gone over 100 pitches five times. And he went in the second and third start, 102, 107. And then it was two starts below 100, although really close, but still below 100.
High 90s, right?
And then he went to 110, which is remains a season high. That was the game against Seattle where he actually only went five innings.
That might be a career high, 110.
Probably.
I think it is.
Probably is. Then he went 89 in there, which at the time was right around the low. Then he had back-to-back 100-pitch games. So my guess is, even though Cora said, oh, there's like weeks in the making, I wonder if they were like, we don't want him to go three straight games of 100 pitches. I guess something that's probably never happened in his career. But also, at the time that he's doing that, you don't know Walker Buehler's getting thrown out of a game. You don't know that you're going to get short starts. Really, the whole lead-up in between Garrett Crochet's starts, the starters didn't go very deep in the game. So the bullpen was absolutely taxed. So you have that on top of you're going for a sweep. You're trying to get to above 500. And
you're
that's a minor detail.
You're trying to get real momentum.
Trying to get momentum.
You won the series, but you now, again, have no momentum.
Because that's sort of the whole idea of the ace, right? Like, the ace is the stopper, meaning like it's going to stop any kind of like losing streak. But also, you feel great about him continuing any kind of winning streak that you have. And he's talking to WEEI Afternoons about how he's going to go six or seven. Crochet clearly wants to go six or seven. He throws a bunch of pitches in the first, but then settles down. He had only given up one run overall. He goes out for the sixth inning. So you even do the thing where he sits after the fifth, sits down, waits for the team to hit, goes back out there, strikes out Juan Soto, and then you're like, you're out. So there's nobody on base. You faced one hitter, who I know he's not having the best year, but it's still Juan Soto.
He's not laboring at all.
And then Pete Alonso's up next, so I guess singled off him in his last at-bat, but he struck out in his first at-bat. And you're like, all right, you're out. Here comes Liam Hendricks, and then we're going to bring Liam. And Hendricks did get out of that inning, but then now you're bringing Liam Hendricks back out again, and then that's when things fell apart.
Well, and this is the other side of it, too. It's like, okay, even if Crochet was the front office and analytics, and it's Breslow and, you know, his army of guys upstairs, okay, well, what about the Hendricks decision? Hendricks comes in and punches out Alonso, punches out Vientos, and looks really good in the sixth inning. You thought you were going to get five outs out of Liam Hendricks? Like, that's what analytics came up with, or that's what the manager was trying to do? The manager's constantly...
Well, the guy wants to pitch.
Trying to bridge these guys together. Well, no, we'll get to that, because Hendricks opened his mouth before the game, and then I know he's getting some awful stuff online that he doesn't deserve, but he didn't exactly back up the comments when he came out in the seventh last night. But, yeah, I can't get behind Cora coming on the air before the game on WEEI Afternoons, you just referenced it, Keith, and saying we're going to get 6-7 out of the guy and hope we can piece together three or two innings after that and then pitch him a season low in pitches. A season low in pitches. 85 is the fewest pitches he's thrown in a Boston Red Sox uniform on a night where before the game...
They needed it.
Lou was joking about him going 180 and pitching a complete game.
Yeah, what do you call him, a wild boar?
He said they're going to get the full wild boar and
wild
have him go
boar.
Nine last night.
Yeah.
And he
would have been in line for his fourth hoss of the week.
He threw 85 pitches. Now, look, it's a tie game. We don't know what was going to happen with the Red Sox. Maybe they lose the game anyway by sticking with him. Like, I don't know what happens. I'm not predicting it. But I think Cora has sent a message all year long. And this is where I think the pressure is ratcheting up on him. And there's a variety of different examples. But he sent a message all year long that today doesn't matter. It's all about tomorrow. And I think in baseball, that does work over 162 more often than not. But there are spots you got to pick. And so you can't tell me we're going to pitch to Vladdy with first base open, but I'd handle it differently in the ALCS.
So dumb.
And you can't tell me that, well, we're worried about the big picture with the big guy here, Garrett Crochet, and it's not about today, and you lose that game. And, oh, by the way, family comes first. I'm not worried about the game today. Baseball isn't my life. It's my job. And you can't have all these things and consistently send that message that it's not the game isn't the most important thing, because that is going to trickle down to the team and they're going to go, oh, we struck out 16 times today. Oh, well, we lost again. Today's not the biggest thing. It's all about tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that I think that attitude has sunk in on the team.
Yeah. Is he putting the team first? Is Devers putting the team first? Like, are all these different guys, like, you start to wonder about all that stuff. And Yeah, because we're also not talking about the extremes, right? Like, there's a difference between, you know, he's at 110 pitches, and you're like, can you give us one more inning? Like, right. No, we're not asking. Like, this isn't the World Series, right? So there's sort of that fine line where I understand that it's May. I understand that we want Crochet to be as healthy as possible, right. As much as you can predict that or prepare for that in April, or I'm sorry, like in August and September. But, like, if you're so terrified, just have him throw 50 pitches then, right? Like, have him throw 60 pitches. But, like, for some reason, 85 was the line.
Right, if you're so worried, why'd you even bring him back out for the first out of the sixth?
For the sixth, then you could have shut him down after five. I mean, like, it was a short night for you. You went five.
What'd you do that for? So, like, right, we're not asking him for one more inning when he's already thrown 110 pitches.
And even the thing, like,
we're asking for two more outs.
Two more outs. And then you give Hendricks starts the next inning. And who knows? Maybe the same thing happens. We don't know. But, like, I think you at least put yourself in a better position. I still go back to the Vlad Guerrero decision, because that one is really highlighted by him talking about how the closest time he's ever really, like, admitted to a mistake was like, well, maybe I'd do it different then, but yeah. Like, I'm glad I did it this way now.
Yeah, he defended it in real time. He's like, oh, I wanted to have him work on stuff now, but in the ALCS, I'd do it differently.
But what's also strange,
the ALCS.
What's weird to me, though,
thank
is
you, Sean.
I forget who was even on the mound. Who gave that up? Was it Weissert? I forget who it even was that pitched to Guerrero.
Oh.
But if you put
that
him,
sounds right. Weissert,
I think it
might have
been.
Right, yeah.
But, like, okay, you put Guerrero on first. Weissert still in a jam. Like, you're just giving him a better chance to get out of it.
Right.
You can still get some confidence getting out of that jam. Bases are now loaded. You set up force play, all that stuff. The next hitter's not as good. It's still a high leverage situation. It's very strange, the rationale for that.
So, how are we feeling about the manager? Let's mix in a little post game audio, and then we'll go on the clock with summer viewing. You can jump in 617-779-7937. Just in case you haven't heard it, Cora and Crochet not on the same page after the game. Here's Alex Cora with a quick exchange on how he handled Crochet.
He did a good job. I mean, today was one of those days that we circle up that we're going to be short, and they put some good at-bats early on, followed up some pitches. The pitch count got up in the first inning, but after that, he was efficient and gave us enough.
You started, you're going to be short with him.
Yeah.
Okay, how tough is that?
It's not tough.
No, when it lines up with the day where your bullpen.
It's not tough. It's for the benefit of the player. You know, we're here for the long run, and we need that guy to make his starts, and for us to go to where we feel we can go, we need him. And you guys talked about it before, right? Like, first time going through this and all that, and we're going to find some days that we're going to take advantage of them, regardless of the situation. You got to put the player first. And he was very upset in the beginning, and then he was okay with it. So, obviously, we were short, but that doesn't dictate what we're going to do with our ace.
Okay, so he's defending the big picture there. The time to get Alex Cora out, and I've been saying this all day, the time to get, Crochet out of a game, if you really wanted to protect him, was when you were up 7-1 on Kansas City through six innings, and you tap Crochet on the shoulder, and you go, hey, you know what? Good outing, but we don't need you to come back out here. We're going to let the bullpen finish this off. He threw 106 pitches against Kansas City.
Yeah,
he came back out for a seventh when they were up six runs.
That's what's weird.
That'd be the day to pick your spot with him.
I know. So is it just, do the stat guys figure out, hey, this is how many pitches per start for a while, and not taking into account, like, score of the game?
I think they kind of look at it rolling over a handful of starts, but I don't care. Last night you needed two more outs. How many more pitches is that going to be? 10?
No.
Like, that kills him? He can't pitch in the ALCS because you had pitched him 10 extra pitches against the Mets in May?
And then you hope that things are lined up better the next time, and Walker Buehler, who will still, if they, you know, assuming they go in order and everybody is gets their start, Walker Buehler goes deeper into the game, so the bullpen isn't as taxed in your next start. And maybe that's an opportunity to go a little bit, take the foot off the gas a little bit in the next one to protect him. But no, that was an obvious, oh, you have your big starter ace on the mound. Thank God, perfect timing. Let's make sure he goes deep into the game. And he was pitching well enough to do so, too. And yet you still took the ball from him.
We all thought they were going to lean on him last night. Crochet certainly was ready for it. Now, he acknowledged, and you're going to hear this here, he acknowledged earlier in the post-game press conference that he never knows what his pitch count is. But I'm sure there are days where the manager comes to you before the game and says, hey, we really need you out there today. Like, there are subtle ways to, like, let you know.
Yeah.
We're going to lean on you. Here's Crochet after the game.
Understanding that you don't want to know about it before you start. How much do you sort of, are you aware of what they're trying to do, and have you talked to them about what they're trying to do?
No, not really aware of it at all. Tonight I was the 25 pitch first, or however many I threw in the first, obviously hurt. But I was prepared to go 7-8 innings, 115 pitches if that's what it took. Obviously we won the series yesterday, but, you know, my goal is to come in today and sweep and just give the team as much length as possible.
Nice.
So he just wanted to go 30 more pitches than what they gave him.
Yeah.
Right? And so and that's why there is some, you know, protecting the player a little bit. Like, you don't have to go 115, 120 pitches every time out. That probably wouldn't be a great formula. But last night you thought might be a little bit different, and maybe there's a happy medium, or you just sort of see what it takes, or maybe it's even first sign of trouble in the sixth inning. Sure. There was no trouble. You punched out Juan Soto, and then you get pulled from the game.
No trouble whatsoever.
Maybe he goes six innings on 95, six pitches, and you're like, all right, that's it. And even us, we were like, I thought maybe go a little bit further than that, but whatever. It still looks a lot better.
Right. If he
tie game, fresh inning for Hendricks,
Great point. If he went six innings, 95 pitches, we might still be saying, boy, I thought they were going to lean on him a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be as ridiculous as last night, pulling him in the middle of an inning when he's cooking.
Good gravy.
I did also like that he acknowledged in there, no, I had no clue. No, I wasn't aware of it at all.
I thought I was going to go six or seven or eight is what he said. Seven or eight.
More strong communication from Mr. Communication there. Alex Cora.
No.
He's got more problems, by the way. Liam Hendricks upset with his usage. We know the Devers thing looming over all of it, so the pressure ratcheting up on Alex Cora. You can discuss 617-779-7937. On Thursdays, though, Keith, we do like to go on the clock.
Yes.
60 seconds or less, but usually right around the – actually, exactly 60 seconds. Yeah. I shouldn't say or less.
No, 60 seconds.
So we're
1 minute.
One whole minute.
One U.S. minute.
Summer sports viewing is what we're going to do, because Tommy Curran said earlier this week, well, it's all about the Pats now. The Celtics are out. There's no live sports.
There's no live sports.
It's like, dead. It's dead until the Patriots come back.
Pats' first preseason game. I'm like, wait, what? It's May. There's plenty of stuff going on still.
So we thought about it, and we certainly feel like there's plenty going on.
I think so, too.
And so we decided to stand up to Tommy Curran with this here today. You want me to go on the clock
this
first?
This is versus Curran.
This is versus Tom E.
Yeah, if you want to go first, go ahead.
All right, throw me on the clock there, Nick. Summer sports viewing in just 60 seconds. The Garrett Crochet starts. As long as the manager doesn't ruin him like last night, it's fun to have an actual ace back on the Boston Red Sox. You got the drama at first base. Who's going to wind up playing there? Is Devers going to blow up again on the Red Sox? We'll follow that. The timeline of when the prospects are coming up. Anthony, Meyer, eventually the Red Sox got to call these guys up, right? Right? You got the MLB All-Star Game. Duran was the MVP last year. How many Red Sox go to the All-Star Game? I also like the Home Run Derby. Chicks dig the long ball. So do I. We have the Celtics offseason. We know some players are going to be leaving. Who are they, and when does it happen? NBA Finals, who wins it all? Is there a new face of the league? Plus, in the NHL, you got the Stanley Cup Final. Marchand, can he take home a second cup? Will McDavid get a first? Bruins offseason. We know we're stuck with Sweeney. But now, what are they going to do? And two of my favorites, Keith, Wimbledon, the grass, the all-white wardrobe, strawberries and cream, it's perfection. Hot dog eating contest, glizzies, reversals, perfection is what that is. So a big summer viewing sports schedule
this
year.
You're not kidding.
No.
All right, here we go, Nick. Put me on the clock. All right, here we go. This is how we get to football season from now. You do have the Red Sox. They're 2.5 games out of a wild card spot right now. They are struggling, but you got Garrett Crochet every fifth day, as long as Alex Cora allows it to happen. NBA playoffs. We just got an instant classic last night between the Knicks and the Pacers. That could be a 7-game series. You got Oklahoma City and Minnesota on the other side with the league MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So we got another month of basketball and what could be some really exciting games. Even in hockey, Brad Marchand. You can choose to either root for him or against him, but he's trying to win another Stanley Cup. Connor McDavid, one of the greatest hockey players of all time, he's also in action. NBA draft is in June. There could be some big trades. Maybe Cooper Flagg gets traded because Nico Harrison is so dumb. How about this? WWE, between now and football season, Money in the Bank, Night of Champions, Saturday night's main event, and a two-night SummerSlam.
Wow.
Baseball All-Star Game, Home Run Derby, and I'm going to cheat a little bit. This summer, you also have Mission Impossible, Friendship, Jurassic World, Superman, Fantastic Four, 28 years later, John Wick, Predator, F1, and I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I didn't hear those last 5 or 6 ones.
Yeah, well, I went over.
Buzzer went off.
My goodness.
I went over. Did you shut my mic off?
Cheating a little bit.
You forgot about weapons.
Adding movies.
And weapons.
Adding movies in like 10 seconds over. My goodness.
Well, stuff to watch. I was like, I got to include these a little bit.
Well, that's true.
There's a ton of stuff between now and football
season. Respect the clock.
My bad.
I didn't. I left the NBA draft
Courtney out. Courtney would have said I was stealing seconds
true.
There.
You were stealing seconds away. Yeah. I left the NBA draft out. I did not get to any of the wrestling events coming up.
Dude, there's a two-night SummerSlam? They've never had a two-night SummerSlam.
Real Money oversight. In the Bank is its own standalone pay-per-view now?
Hell yeah, Nick.
Real oversight on my part.
Money in the Bank, June 7th.
I don't know where this went, Keith, a while ago.
Oh, the greatest text ever. The one, the wrestling one?
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, so we were talking about Jason Tatum and how he's in a weird spot where you and I don't view him as these last 4 years a true MVP candidate.
No.
And yet he's an automatic first-team All-NBA guy. So it's like, how can he be top five but not really an MVP candidate? I don't know. That's what Jason Tatum is. So we had a texter say he's like the Undertaker. He's like, so early 90s, in like midnight, you had like Hulk Hogan, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart. Then Undertaker was always there, but those three guys were sort of like the focus of it. Then it moved to Stone Cold and The Rock, Triple H. You still had Undertaker, which was great, but not those guys. Then you had like John Cena, Randy Orton, still had the Undertaker, but you would never say he was the MVP of wrestling.
But he was always
like a top five guy.
He was a first team all wrestling.
A first team all wrestling.
But not the MVP.
Yeah.
Got it.
I'm like, man, that is perfect.
What do you think of that analogy, Billy? That was a strong analogy from the text line.
I can dig it.
Yeah,
Jason absolutely. Tatum is the Undertaker.
It makes a ton of sense because if you were doing like your Mount Rushmore of wrestling, you probably wouldn't have him in there. But you're like, well, why not?
He bridged that gap, like you said, between the new generation and the Attitude Era.
He was like always the fourth best guy, which is nothing to sneeze at. No, probably not.
But always right there in the mix.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then lost to Lesnar at Mania and it was the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Strong analogy there.
Yeah.
And a strong summer viewing schedule, I think.
I think it's not bad. I'll tell you what. I'll enjoy my summer viewing until we get to football season.
Okay, so that's on the clock. We do it every Thursday, high noon-ish, here on Jones and Keefe. You can check those out on social media, at Jones and Keefe.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
In regards to tonight's, obviously looking for a big one from Crochet. Anyone coming up or coming down to help out the pen?
No. We're staying put. A little short, but there's guys that are available. You know, Liam hasn't pitched. Witt can give us an inning. Bernie can go out there and give us an inning. So hopefully the big boy goes 6 or 7, and then after that we can cover 3 and win the game.
So it's interesting to go back to Alex Cora. Every Wednesday on WEEI Afternoons, you heard the question from Fitzy there. If you missed any of the interview, go back and dissect it. It's a little different than how Cora acted it out. Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. 6 or 7 out of the big boy. Hopefully that's what we get. And then we piece together. He says 3 innings, but if it's 7, you only need 2.
Right. How about 5 and a third?
How about I had guys warming up in the 5th. Then I let him come back out for the 6th. He got 1 out. No problem. Struck out Soto for the 3rd time, by the way.
Yikes.
Bases are empty. I really only need 2 more outs out of him to get what I said. And we don't do it. It's a season low pitch total, 85. What were your scenarios you laid out earlier, Keith? You're like, there's only three options.
Only 3 options when you take into account what he said at 2:30 on WEEI Afternoons yesterday and then what he said post-game and sort of his actions. Uh-huh. So there's only 3 options. Uh-huh. One, he changed his mind or the stats guys told him after 2:30.
Like,
here's
the new plan. We were listening.
We have a new plan.
We were listening to your weekly interview, and you know what? Yeah. You said 6 or 7 innings. New plan. Yeah. Okay. Somebody came running down the stairs.
New plan. Gamesmanship.
Yeah.
He thought he knew the Mets might be listening, and they were like, oh, guys, if he said, hey, it's going to be a short start for him, they're like, just take a bunch of pitches, get him out of the game, blah, blah, blah. Gamesmanship.
Yeah.
Number 3, just a liar. He just lied. He just lied to them.
That doesn't sound like Cora to me.
Lied to the listeners.
Yeah.
I mean, people are tuning in. They want to hear what Cora has to say about the club.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, 6 or 7. Nope. No. Maybe, Crochet said 7 or 8.
Maybe
he's like, no.
As you said earlier, he's this guy. He's a bit of an Ashton Kutcher. He likes to punk people.
He punked.
He sits around.
Yeah, punked everybody.
And he kind of gets in there after the game. He's like, I fooled you guys.
Why was that? Why would you do that? What was the point?
I was just joshing, guys. I said 6 or 7.
Terrible. But so, they'll be well rested. That he'll have all the bullets in the chamber come playoff time.
Look,
which at this rate they will not make.
I disagree with Bradfoe on this decision last night was almost purely analytics based. But I do think Bradfoe's answer speaks to a schism, if you will, or some disagreement between Cora and Breslow and his staff. And when I say disagreement, I don't even mean specifically on that decision. I just mean it's not that far off from Cora Bloom.
Which we know
got bad at the end of that tenure, and it was kind of Bloom blaming Cora, Cora blaming Bloom. I mean, we might be back there with this guy.
Does this happen every time a GM doesn't pick the coach or manager, or like 90% of the time?
Yeah, good point.
It's one of those
weird
situations.
Traditionally you hire them together.
Dave Dombrowski inherited John Farrell. Didn't keep him for super long, right? Then you have...
that's a good point.
And then you have Chaim Bloom didn't hire Alex Cora. That was the opposite happened, right? The front office decided to keep the manager and not the chief baseball officer. Then they brought in a new one. And therefore he also didn't hire the manager. So, yeah, I can't imagine they're all in lockstep. I'm not saying they need to agree on everything, but... Usually when the GM picks the manager, they're more in lockstep with some of the big picture things, more so than I feel like these two guys would be.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I also think when it comes to the decision last night to get Crochet out of there, I would hope analytics, and maybe they're too rigid to do this, but I'd hope they'd say, hey, we were planning on doing this for weeks and weeks at a time, but oh, by the way, you know what? Our pitcher, wrongfully so, This is why I blame Buehler at the time, because apparently it impacted Crochet and I didn't even know it.
The ump got him.
But, by the way, our starter got pulled early, and so we're going to need to lean on the big guy in this start. Let's rework our models. I think there is some of that going on, and I don't know who to blame on that one.
But this is why I think overall I think Cora is having a bad year. And I know Bradford wouldn't want to go full there. He's not as good as he has been. But it can't.
That's his way of saying it's a bad year, but he wouldn't commit to saying
well,
it.
Well, but it is. It's a bad year.
It's, it's absolutely a bad year for Cora.
And players can have a bad start and turn it around. I think managers can as well, right? Like, if we're going to look at him, we're going to sort of grade them out. Like, what's been good about it? Your team is wildly underachieving, and you have all these communication issues.
Well, thank you.
That's what it comes down to, too, because the baseball manager is supposed to deal with that. Because with the exception of football, I don't necessarily attach a ton of wins and losses to the hockey head coach, the basketball head coach, and the baseball manager. Not to say they have zero importance. I just think it's not the same that it is in the NFL. But for baseball, the long grind of the season, it's about making sure your players are ready to play, making sure the communication's good, making sure the clubhouse is good, and then therefore you give your best chance on the field. He's not doing that. Like, he's not doing that now. And in previous years when the team sucked record-wise, you were like, all right, who do you want him to pitch? Like, who does he have? What's his best lineup? This year it's different. Well, this year there's so many different things. And if a lot of the things are out of his control, then, like, what's the point?
Well, I agree with that. You know, if all you do is manage to, you know, the roster's level. I said this about Corey the last couple of years. If all you're doing is just managing the roster's level, I thought you're supposed to elevate what you have, right? So they had a losing record 2 years ago. They were 500 last year. They were way above 500 for stretches, but they finished 500. And it's like, okay, if you have a 500 roster and the manager gets you to 500, what exactly is the benefit of the manager? Now he's been paid. Now he has an extension. And they've committed to him. And they have all kinds of communication issues. If you want to let Cora off the hook to a degree, because Crochet never wants to know the situation going in, which Crochet willingly volunteered last night, fine. But I would add that one to my personal list. When Crochet says, yeah, I had no idea I was coming out there, I would add that to the list of communication issues. The Devers one is self-evident. Like,
We don't need to analyze that one. Nope.
That one is a massive communication issue. I don't think that's just Cora, but I do think Cora's the one who has the expertise, and his specialty should be getting you out of that and maneuvering through it. And I think he went completely hands-off where Breslow and Henry had to get in the middle of it, which I think is wild and a reflection of his poor communication this year, meaning Cora. Then you have Liam Hendricks.
Yeah, why not?
And Hendricks went out, and it was not good timing on his part.
Terrible timing.
To vent to the Globe before the game, go out and look great in the sixth, and then fall apart in the seventh. But this is more of a communication issue, just more evidence of it, regardless of whether you think Cora should pitch Hendricks more, whether you think Hendricks is right and he should be out there more, regardless. This is before the game. Liam Hendricks believes he should be used more. If the theory is you want the best me, throw me.
Yeah.
No rhyme or reason. I have no idea about his usage. It's actually a source of contention that I've had with the team. And I've had multiple conversations about that.
Well, this is, and not to give an excuse for Cora, but Hendricks, his best years in the bigs, he was a closer. This year, he probably thought he had a chance to be the closer. He was not great in spring. Chapman's been good, so Chapman's the closer. So he's talking about no rhyme or reason. Well, Chapman has a defined role. And even like Whitlock probably has more of a defined role than what Hendricks does. So Hendricks has kind of become a floater. And when he first came up, I think, what was it, his first appearance, I think he gave up a run or two. And then he was pretty good for a while. Now, these last two appearances, he's not been good. No, so you're right. The timing of it is poor.
I think even after his last outing, his ERA was still in the low threes. That's not great, but I think it was like 330-something going into last night.
Yeah, right. And so now it's 5.5.
Yeah, now it's ballooned after last night.
But his very first appearance of the year was back on April 20th. He gave up two runs in an inning. But then he hadn't given up a run until this past Friday. But, yeah, it's hard to know when he's going to pitch. He clearly doesn't know when he's going to pitch, which sort of speaks to the communication there. So that's another thing that Cora has been struggling with.
Well, I just even if you want to blame analytics for some of these decisions, I mean, how do you put that one on the front office and the decision? Like, Cora, in terms of communicating to his play, you now have, and these are just the ones we know about.
Yeah.
Like, who knows what guys behind closed doors are keeping to themselves? We know Crochet's like, yeah, I had no idea. Right. And that's a minor one. We know Hendricks is pissed about his role, and we know Devers has been pissed from day one.
Well, and Devers and Hendricks are two like veteran guys, so they don't really have a problem saying anything. But you can only imagine maybe some of the other guys that are like, I'm not going to say anything yet.
Right.
But like Christian Campbell. Somebody's talking about Christian Campbell. They're like, hey, we know you're learning to hit major league pitching. We're going to play you at second and the outfield. And oh, by the way, nobody else wants to play first, so now you're playing first. So like, yeah, you got to hit better. But we also need you at like four different defensive spots. That's not great.
Right. If you,
you think he's thrilled? I'm sure he's like just happy to be here, right. Like very much so, the definition of, but there's no way it's helping him.
I bet he's keeping it to himself. But yeah, if you gave him the truth serum, what do you think Christian Campbell would say? These are just guys on the record complaining about their situations. These are just the ones we know about. So I bet it's a lot worse behind the scenes.
And then the losing is just going to compound this, because if somehow, some way, they were 11 games over 500 and Liam Hendricks was like, I don't even know what I'm going to pitch, we'd be like, all right, well, calm down.
Right.
But like, the team sucks. And then it just sort of also speaks to, all right, well, is anybody talking to anybody in there? Like, what is going on a day-to-day basis?
And right. And it's on the heels of, we're complaining about the bullpen and how nobody's available in the bullpen and how are you going to get out of this? And he complains about that going into the game. Real quick, I don't agree with this. I don't think you do either, Keith.
Yes.
Jones, the Devers situation is purely on Breslow. Like,
I do put on Breslow, like, you didn't have a backup first baseman at all. They didn't have one. Okay, once you get into camp and you're like, here's our 40-man roster, you need to be prepared for if somebody goes down, all right, what's our short-term solution? What's our long-term solution? And you didn't have one at first base. And so Casas, who already missed 100 games a year ago, this drives me nuts. This is, yes, Breslow is at fault for that. But based on who you have, Cora needs to know who's going to slide over to first. And if the question was ask Devers to do it, you should have asked him 3 months ago. You should have asked him before. Now he's trying to play like the middle game where he's like, Breslow and Henry are now going to handle this. And he's sort of defending Devers because he doesn't want Devers mad at him. But it's like, you can't just keep trotting out Toro and Sogard.
No. And to me, I applaud Breslow and Henry for trying to get in there because Cora wasn't getting it done with
Devers. Cora didn't ask him.
I mean, he took a complete hands-off approach. If we're taking him at face value, you're right. He didn't ask him and said he doesn't plan on asking him. So Breslow marched downstairs and was like, I'll ask him then. I'm going to sit down with him. And that pissed off Devers, but that's because of Cora's lack of communication, which is a significant problem. There's a communication issue for sure. 617-779-7937. We'll add this to the list. And on the way next, we got the madness, Kiefer Madness.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How are you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now? It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe is a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay. Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
I would have done the same if I had found a kilo of crack cocaine.
Scotty Barnes is going to be all-star.
However, the uninvited guest in their house was more foul.
A man was captured on video using a sword to roast meat in a shopping cart.
All right, here we go. Time for Kiefer Madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And we just got through talking about all the different events, all the different sporting events that you can watch between now and the start of football season. Tom Kern suggested on Tuesday kind of a barren wasteland, kind of just nothing between now and the start of football season.
It was almost...
I was like, wait a minute.
It was almost pity for us. He's like, I don't know what you guys are going to do until then. Well, it was almost what it was.
I got another thing to toss out there.
Okay.
I got another one.
And Oscar Mayer is hitting the racetrack.
That's right. The inaugural Weenie 500.
That's right, Jones. The Weenie 500. No, this does not involve me or Jones, but this is the, you know, the Wienermobiles.
Sure.
I'm kind of obsessed with the Wienermobiles. Talked about them many times during Madness.
Have you?
Yeah.
Many times?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, just about sightings all over the state. We had people texting in saying that they've been inside them. One guy claimed to have made love in one of them, which I was like, what the hell?
That's
just an overshare is what that was. But yeah, you see the Wienermobiles every once in a while, and you're like, look at that thing. That's pretty sweet. It's a hot dog on wheels.
I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think I've ever seen it
firsthand.
You've
never seen one in the wild?
I mean, I've seen it on a commercial and whatnot. I don't think I've ever seen one in the wild.
I think I saw it on 495 one time.
Nice.
I was like, look at that. Beauty.
Going 40 miles. You zip past it.
Yeah,
40.
Went way past it. Yeah, it just fly by.
I can't drive behind this thing. It's not very aerodynamic.
But apparently, they're going to put these puppies on a racetrack and have them go.
Okay.
That's right. The inaugural Weenie 500 kicks off Friday at the historic Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It marks the first competitive race for the entire Wienermobile fleet and the first time all six vehicles have gathered together in over a decade.
Wow.
They never
it's like a family
get together.
Reunion.
Yeah, they never. There it is. There's the Weenie 500. If you're watching on Twitch or on YouTube, there's only six of them. And I feel like there's one in the Northeast a lot.
Wait, put that back up. Are those their actual names?
What do you mean?
Chai Dog, Chicago Dog, New York Dog. These are all their names. Slaw Dog. Put those back up.
Slaw Dog. Yeah, might be. So there's one that usually is like Western Mass. I feel like it pops around quite a bit. Yeah, you can find it. I saw it in a parking lot once. That's exciting. The guy was probably inside grabbing
a meal.
You saw it on 495.
No, I've seen it more than once.
Man.
Yeah, I feel pretty special about that. But
Keep spotting weenies in the wild like crazy.
So there are
sick Brad, bro.
It's a Kiefer Madness in itself.
Yeah, it is. Really.
A man who's seen the Wienermobile twice.
Yeah. It is. There it
the
is.
The inception.
Thank you,
Terry.
Look, so Chicago Dog, New York Dog, Slaw Dog.
So no, those aren't
their names
all the time. No, they are. I think only for the race.
Okay.
So you can differentiate them on race day.
Gotcha. Okay.
Look at that thing, though. It's got like a bun, the whole hot dog. Looks like kind
of
like, remember when they shot that thing in space?
You want to finish first or last?
No, you want to win this.
Yeah.
You want to win.
You
if
always,
you ain't first, you're last.
You always want to finish first.
I always
do. Yeah, it's never. What's the other option?
Folks at home can take part in a free-to-play pool that lets fans predict the outcome of the race and answer race-related questions.
What kind of race-related questions do you think we would get?
Top speed.
Is Rubbin racing.
Yeah, is Rubbin racing. Top
Will
speed.
Will there be a wreck?
Yeah. How often do you pit?
Yeah, that's true.
When are you going to change the tires?
Pit crews on that would be pretty intense.
I imagine.
Top speed is what I'm most curious about.
Yeah.
I would imagine like 50.
Yeah.
Are we going
60 miles?
We going condiments on or not? Or not?
Not.
Naked race?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm taking the.
Oh, come on.
I hate talking over that. I'm taking the freeze.
Oh, the freeze flies.
The freeze might
That's
still
a good time. Yeah. Like the sausage races, was that the Brewers games?
Yes.
Where they just run out there and they go full go.
I kind of like the one the Nationals do where they bring out George Washington and all the presidents. Yeah.
Presidents.
Yeah.
The Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Folks at home can take part in a free-to-play pool that lets fans predict the outcome of the race and answer race-related questions.
How about this? Here you go. Somebody on the text line saw the Wienermobile in Central Mass 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
That's not bad. So
sick brag, bro.
But now it's making its way to Indy. And they're never in the same spot once. It's like you don't want to fly the president and the vice president together.
Well, besides these races.
Yeah, but they haven't done it in 10 years. They haven't put the six Wienermobiles together in 10 years.
For a chance to win a share of a $10,000 prize pool, the action will be streamed live at 11 a.m. Pacific.
11 a.m. Pacific?
Yeah, where'd you get this news story from? I don't know.
L.A.?
Oh, there
they're
you
talking
go.
About it in L.A.
Got
That's the biggest story it was. Yeah. So what is that, 2 p.m. our time?
Yes.
Tomorrow. So perfect. As soon as we get off the air, fire this up, the Weenie 500.
Maybe we are. Bet on it? Maybe we are rooting for a Red Sox doubleheader. Yeah.
You can bet on it.
Of course you can wager on this.
Plus, you can bet on apparently trivia questions or whatever the hell they were saying, too.
On the Fox Sport app, I think we should break in.
I thought there was only one Wienermobile. There's six?
Hey, you idiot. Yeah, there's more than one Wienermobile.
She's a one.
She was confused.
She's a one Wienermobile woman is what she is. That makes sense. She's not keeping her eyes on six of them.
But they can't drive all across the country at all times. Like, you want to, you know.
I got to be honest. I kind of thought,
you thought there was one?
Well, I thought there was only maybe one on the road at a time. I figure you need a stunt double. but, you know, I don't know that I knew there was a fleet of six of these things.
Yeah.
Wienermobile. There's six?
I just can't picture them going fast.
No, it's probably a fun slow.
Well, nobody said they're going to go fast.
Yeah, well, it's great.
Me and Billy were on the same wavelength with that one, yeah. Yeah, I didn't children. Think they were going to go fast.
Well, nobody said they were going to go fast. He hates, listen to the disdain in this guy's voice. So now they're at the panel, the desk with like four of them.
Yeah.
Because it's not that bad of a question, but he's like mad about it.
Fast.
No, it's probably a fun slow.
Well, nobody said they were going to go fast.
Race.
Going to race.
Like a bumper car.
She's like, what? Nobody said they were going to go fast.
They didn't say they were going fast. Like, all right, he's going to win a race.
I was just wondering.
Think about baseball.
That would be. Of all the different
grandma,
Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah,
I still that would be of all the different vehicles out there, that'd be one I'd like to get behind the wheel. Do you think? Would you like to drive the Wienermobile?
Yeah,
of course,
but not in this setting,
not in a race.
No,
but
too much pressure.
Wienermobile or Goodyear blimp.
Oh, Wienermobile.
Wienermobile, Bill.
Sorry, I should have saved that for Wednesday.
Yeah, first of all,
how dare you?
Second of all, Goodyear blimp.
Yeah,
that's
I love hot wieners.
Just very, very dangerous.
For that.
Yeah,
I found it, Nick.
A wiener cake, of course. Wiener of love event.
That's the kind of event.
Hot wieners anywhere.
That I can get behind.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Wienermobile text line claims.
Oh, is it Connecticut all
Wienermobile
the time?
Wienermobile is in Norwich, Connecticut, quote unquote, all the time. Which I'm not sure about that.
Good question.
All the time.
Will my sportsbook Rhode Island pick of the week be the Weenie 500? No? Tune in to find out. Not a bad idea.
Honestly, really good idea.
Not a bad idea. I'll have to check the line there.
I bet they have them there.
They should.
Yeah, I bet they do.
They usually do.
Yeah.
Right, there you go. There's the madness today. The Weenie 500. Add it to the list.
Tomorrow at 2.
Yeah.
So maybe we are now rooting for a doubleheader tomorrow. And we get out a little early. Pre-game. Kind of
grab
tailgate.
Some lunch, get in the conference room.
Exactly.
Like, really how many hot dogs can I eat during the Weenie 500 is the question.
It's a great question.
Probably a bunch.
That's the madness. Every Tuesday and most Thursdays, 12:45, here on Jones and Keefe. You can dial us up, 617-779-7937. Let's get back to the NBA. Wild finish in the Eastern Conference Finals last night. Was it a Pacers win or a Knicks choke? I think I know the answer. Plus, we'll get back to the MVP race. Well, Jason Tatum. Ever be back in that discussion again. That's next.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.